This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Big aloha to our Hawaiian listeners and g'day to everyone. Welcome to Neat and Footy, the number one spot for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and with me, as always, is my Cook Island Coley, Tinida Arona T. Special episode, this one.
Yes, very special, but I'll keep it for our moment of the week. Kia ora to all our listeners and aloha to all our Hawaiian listeners. I like that one,
Give
Sammy.
Us a jam, that little song that you were singing.
Good morning, Hawaii.
Oh, sound like a drowning cat.
But huge show prep for you listeners today. We have the NRL finals, four huge games that I'll mention, and also some news on our PNG Hunters in the Queensland Cup. We have Shelley Long, who will cover the NRLW and all the footy that was played in the women's space over the weekend. And then we also had the Pacific Nations Cup semi-finals that was held in Japan. And Sammy, you'll give us a deep dive into them games that were held.
Yeah, it's a big week of footy, outstanding both in league and union. And this week we also have a special guest with a Wallaroos player, Fa'asasalu Fuisina, a.k.a. Sally. Really good chat, and we're going to talk about her postpartum depression, how she got it back into rugby, and that pretty much saved her, and she made her debut at the young age of 30. So,
and a mother of two
Of two, yeah. Amazing story. Can't wait to chat to her.
Moment of the week.
Talk to me, yes.
Our moment. Episode 100. Well, where's the drums?
Where's the on the panel, the button that we've
100 episodes here on Neat and Footy. If you think about the journey we've had from the start till now, Sammy, man, I want to say thank you on behalf of the Aotearoa family and myself. Great work, Sammy, and opening the space for me. But our producer, Declan has quite a small surprise for us.
This is Neat and Footy.
100 episodes. I honestly didn't think that would last more than 20 episodes on air. Still on air. All right, there you go.
Hey, guys. Toto Kefu here, beaming in from Japan. I just want to wish you guys a happy 100th show. I can't believe that Sam Wykes is still on there and lasted this long. Well done, guys. Congrats.
Kia ora.
Malo lele.
And happy 100 episodes to the Neesian Footy Crew.
Footy of all kinds. 100 episodes? My goodness, you guys don't look a day over 2 episodes.
That is beautiful.
How do you do that? Fitness. Ooh.
Dang.
I've learned a lot of Neesian knowledge, Jacob.
Oh, my gosh. I know what a ruck is now. Mm-hmm. It's legendary.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know anything about rugby, but I have learned some stuff from your show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
From Neesian Daily.
Hey, my brothers. Happy 100th show. What a bloody accomplishment. I'm really grateful for who you guys are and what you guys are doing. And I hope that you can take a moment to reflect not only on the 100 episodes, but the people that you've been able to profile, the stories that you've been able to bring to the public's attention, and just the effort that you guys have put in to make Neesian Footy such a great show. I love you guys. I'm so proud of you. And here's to another 500.
Yes, boys. 100 episodes. Raise your bats. You've marked a century of some of the best episodes I've ever listened to on the podcast game. Well done on everything you boys have achieved so far, T and Sam. It's been a pleasure to follow your journey when I was in France, looking for someone to encourage me and motivate me. You guys got me up. I'm excited to see what's next and bring on 100 and another 100 more.
Hey fam, congrats on hitting your 100th episode today. You both should be super proud of yourselves. Thank you for all the laughs and all the knowledge you bring each week, and also the time, the space, and the energy that you give to our Pacifica athletes is work that doesn't go unrecognized, and it is super special and reassuring to see in the media space. So lots of love, T.
Sam and T, 100 shows. Nice work. It's not easy putting up with each other for 100 shows. You seem to do it all right. You're either faking it or you actually like each other. You're both such an important part of the ABC Radio Australia family. Everyone at the network loves you to pieces. So here's to another 100 shows.
100 games for Nisian footy. What an absolute pleasure it is to be part of it. Tube Sopawanga, the dual international. Call me up whenever you want for the next 100. What a pleasure it has been. 100 more on the way. Let's go.
Congratulations, Nisian footy, 100 episodes. Sam and T, absolutely love you guys. I knew you could do it, and I cannot wait for 100 more episodes. They're not going to last 100 more episodes. Surely not.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, it's not that birthday. It's not that birthday.
Oh, wait. Happy 100 episodes
to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Woo.
Oh, man.
Wow.
That's, I don't know, I'm speechless probably for the first time in a long time.
And some
cake. Oh, and some cake as well.
Oh, my days.
Well, when you said Declan, I thought, oh, yeah, let's make sure we say thanks to Declan for making us sound probably better than what we are, our producers. So thank you, bro. We appreciate that. And I guess we want to thank all the people in the ABC for giving us a platform to be able to share our stories and bring our unique flavour to the radio world so all of our people in the Pacific can have a listen to our stars. So, oh man, I'm overwhelmed. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I'm the same, mate. I've always said the show's never been about us. It's always been about, you know, inspiring, entertaining, educating, you know, the people back in the Pacific and across Australia as well. So this is a huge shout out to everyone who's played a role in our journey here at Nisian Footy and the ABC. And yeah, big thank you to you all. It's been quite an experience. Here's to the next 100, Sammy.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Let's go.
Hello, my name is Conor McGregor. Hello, my name is Leha Wate, and I'm listening to Nisian Footy.
Well, Sammy, I don't know how we get over that moment and then head straight into the footy news.
While you do the footy news, I'm going to have some of the cake.
Okay. It's a brownie cake that's shaped in the number 100.
I didn't even see that.
This is, I feel like I need a moment just to bring my emotions down to get into the footy news. Let's head straight into it. The NRL Finals Week 1 was played over the weekend. We had 4 great games. I was honoured to be a part and be present at the Panthers versus Roosters game. That was held at Penrith, and it was chock-a-blocks. Packed crowd there at Penrith, the foot of the mountains, a cold Friday evening. And the Panthers, just the way they came out, it was like they had been doing this for the last 4-3 years. It was clockwork to them. They scored 4 tries in the first 22 minutes. They built pressure, line speed, controlled the ruck. And I just thought the way that when they attacked the try line, so they build pressure. Once they start attacking that try line, they've been together that long now, everyone has a role, and they're able to ask questions, all 5 tackles. You'll notice when Roosters had the ball, when they were attacking the try lines, sometimes it's like, oh, take a settler. Sometimes there's someone missing. Not with the Panthers. They always had a play. They always were asking questions. And to be able to defend that, it's a tough job. So the reason why they scored 4 tries in them 22 minutes. So great work from the Panthers. They'll have the weekend off, and they are 1 game away now from playing in their 5th grand final straight. They've played in the last 4, and they've won the last 3 premierships. And to score the first try for the Panthers, we had one of Samoan's favourite sons, Brian To'or, scoring in the corner.
4 metres out from the Roosters' line. You play the ball to Kenny. Kenny goes to the right. Yo, away to Cleary, runs at the line, offloads Edwards, quick hand tunnel, then away Toll, oh, Toll's over, he burst straight through Swalee, he's over to score, try to Brian Toll, what a start by the Premiers.
Luckily, the Roosters will get another chance as they play the Manly Sea Eagles this weekend. In another game, we had the Storm playing the Sharks in Melbourne, the Storm taking this one 37-10, and I just thought them and Penrith, the way that they played, they showed the rest of the competition that they are levels above the rest of the other teams. I just think the way that they build pressure, they complete high, they defend well. They only made 4 errors this whole game, the Melbourne Storm did.
So have you seen enough from both of those teams in that victory to say, the grand final champs will come from one of those two?
I'd be very surprised if it wasn't a Storm Panthers grand final. There would have to be a huge upset just from watching these two games. The Storm did go in halftime 14-10. The Sharks, you know, tried to stay in that fight, but I think the way that they built that pressure, got through their sets, like I said, they just kept the Sharks down their end. And when they had the ball, they were just marching up the field. So, you look at some of the stats: 4 errors to Sharks, 12. They had they only made 264 tackles to the Sharks, 452, and they only missed 20 to the Sharks, 53. So, they're going to be hard to beat in this next game, which we will get to. And in the other two games, we had the Cowboys taking on the Knights up at Townsville. The Cowboys getting away with this one, 28-16. What did I say last week when I previewed this game, Sammy?
Kalen Ponga.
Kalen Ponga.
You said if they shut down Kalen, you shut down the Knights.
Well, Kalen Ponga came out first half. He had 2 try assists. He'd been a threat the whole game. And even towards the end of the game, there were, I think there was only like 15 minutes ago, he makes a break. They're 16 all Cowboys Knights. Kalen Ponga throws this pass. If it lands, they take the lead and potentially win the game. But the Cowboys just had enough. You know, they've got enough individuals there to find a way to step up and get the win. So I just got down here, individual players stepping up when needed. There was a great moment. Set play, they've got it out to Val. Val jumps in the air. Taps it straight to Murray Taulagi to score in the corner as well.
Hard in the right corner. Played to Vailea. Pass to Drinkwater. Second man, McIntyre. Draw and pass Dearden. Floats the ball to the edge. Holmes bats it on to Taulagi. Brilliant shift. Cowboys try in the left corner. Brilliantly done. From one side to the other.
And in the final game, Sammy, we've seen the Bulldogs take on the Sea Eagles in Sydney. And, geez, what an atmosphere it was in Sydney and Homebush. Sea Eagles winning this one 24-22, but I thought the Bulldogs, they had the upper hand for the majority of this game. And I want to give a good shout out to Viliami Kikau and Captain Stephen Crichton just for the work that they done. So Kikau, he sets up the first try of the match on a short side play. Now only 10 minutes later, very same play, but 30 meters away. Now because it's 30 meters away, the defensive line gives that space for Viliami and they try and use the sideline. He ends up holding the ball this time and he runs 30 metres and scores a try. So great work to Viliami and, again, congratulations on getting the MVP for the Bulldogs. Stephen Crichton, now he finds a way to make plays in big games. So there was a chip kick. He sprints, beats 2 defenders to put his fingers on the ball and score the try. And then in another play, there was he volleyball. So in the area out Western Sydney, he's known for his volleyball and he's meant to be one of the best basketball players.
Basketball, yep.
So when the ball goes up, he ends up just tipping like one hand touch, tips it onto the winger, Jarrell Skelton, and Jarrell ends up stepping in and beats 3 defenders to score a try. So a huge shout out to those two boys for making a big, having this big final series, but also the season that the Bulldogs have had. Now to the Seagulls. Last week, I think I said DCE. Did I mention Daly Cherry Evans? No, maybe.
Nah, I don't think so.
Well, I'll mention him today.
I don't think so, mate.
He was the difference. And I think the way that he started to control the game towards the end, he scores that try to even up the score 16-all off that scrum play where he comes out the back, goes in untouched, and then he tees up with Tom Trbojevic on that play, passes it inside. And the man who finishes the try, now man, Tolu Kola, finishes it with a 40-meter try.
Now back towards center field go the Seagulls. 27 out from their own line. Garrick's tackled. Last play, Cherry Evans runs it, turns it inside to Tom Trbojevic. Beats one. One-hander back it goes Garrick. They've got numbers to the left. Here they go, Ben Trbojevic. Gets the pass away. Down over the 30-meter line. A show and go. A missed tackle. Another missed tackle. And Manly's in. The try is scored by Talatau Kola. Brilliant from Kola. The Bulldogs' defence just stopped.
They stopped. He beat about four of them. And Talatau Kola may have just scored a famous try for Manly.
Also, quickly, I did mention the battle between Viliami and Haumole Olokowatu. I thought he really stepped up as well. Olokowatu, he ran for 133 metres, 78 post-contact metres, and he made 10 tackle breaks in total in this game. So a huge game coming up when they're going to be taking on the Roosters. Seagulls versus the Roosters, and the Cronulla Sharks will be taking on the Cowboys on Friday evening. And remember, you can hear every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia. Now in the Queensland Cup, the PNG Hunters, they lost 46-30 to the North Devils on Sunday afternoon in Brisbane, which means they miss out on the grand final. But what a season the Hunters have had. Let's see if we can chat to Paul Aton sometime before the end of the year. Sammy, who coached the team, Paulie being another ex-Wakefield player.
Also Penrith
spent,
as well?
Spent yep. some time with him at Penrith Panthers. A great man, so hopefully I can try and get him on the show here on Nesian Footy.
Yeah, work your magic, mate. Work your magic. He has been outstanding for the Hunters.
That's it for Rugby League, mate. Some big games coming up this weekend. We'll chat with Shelley Long and cover the NRLW. Now that's what's happening in the world of rugby union.
Mate, there's actually a lot happening this week in rugby union. Pacific Nations Cup, we'll get into it. I guess after a fair few weeks of running rugby, a lot of entertainment from our Pacific brothers. We have the final two teams determined now. We see Fiji go through after they beat the USA 22-3. And we also see Japan go through after they beat Samoa 49-27. So those two teams will battle it out in the grand final. And hopefully, yeah, we'll back our Fijian brothers to get over. They've been the form team. But just with Fiji, I think the first thing I said about Fiji in their first training session, you good, mate, over there?
Some cake.
Yeah,
mate.
Nice, mate. Well, close your mouth. Didn't your mother teach you that bit? It's coming through the mic. Now, the first thing I said in round one after I watched Fiji play, the most impressive thing about them is their defense. You know, you can really notice the spacing. They're connected in their line speed and they're physical in their contact. And if we look at their three games, they've conceded an average of only 12 points a game. Like that's a big shift in their attitude towards how they want to win footy games and how they want to play. Because honestly, if I'm asking you about Fiji and their identity, you're not thinking defense. There's no way. It's all about the flair and the offloads and the running rugby. So Mick Byrne and his team to be able to make that defensive shift, it's a credit to them and it's a credit to the players to actually change pretty much their cultural identity to play that style. And in that semi-final against the US, it was a key factor to why they won. Their attack didn't flow as it normally should have or would have in past games. Fiji had plenty of ball. Their players carried well. But it was a combination of like their handling errors and not being patient near the line and giving away attacking penalties that, you know, stopped their chances and really put a halt to their momentum that they created. But on the flip side, their defense, like Caleb Munce, the smallest player on their field, the 5'8", you know, USA's coming out of their line. One of their big forwards crashed it straight into Munce. He's got underneath him, lifted him up, drove him back towards a try line. Second effort to be able to get back up, counter ruck. Ball spills out and Elia Thanakaivata, who got man of the match in that game, goes over to score. So their first try wasn't pretty.
But it's off a defensive effort.
Off a defensive effort. And like they've set the tone like that and it was their smallest player doing it. And when you see your 5'8", your smallest guy on the field, with that attitude and intent,
inspires the rest of the team.
100%, especially with their big forwards. You know, I'll get behind my little man. So that was a credit to him. He was outstanding with his whole game and this whole tournament. I also loved probably when Fiji did click with their attack, seeing the lead up to Frank Lamani's try. We saw big Penny Ravi. He's a tight head prop, 140 kilos. He was on the edge. He was out on the wing calling for the ball. Like he saw the space. I don't know why he was there or how he got there in the first place, but he was there. You just see him waving his big arm for him to sing it wide. He gets into space, full flight, The sniper gets him. Like, hey. Yeah, the sniper got...
Hammy, gone.
I think it was his hammy, or he might have just grabbed it because it was just maybe embarrassing the way he fell, lost his balance, because I think his mind and his thoughts were like, I'm already at the try line, but his body was still, you know, that far behind and his toes were so digging like into the ground.
It was the pothole fall.
It was a pothole fall, exactly right. It's probably the best way to explain it. But... you know, having that Fijian skill as he falls down, he gets a pop up to one of the wingers as they go through, draw and pass to Frank Lamani, who ends up finishing off a beautiful try.
Frank Lamani, it seems like his name's been said every week.
Nines in rugby union, sometimes they're the first line of defence off the back of a line out off the scrum. They've got to take first hands of the ball carrier.
Yep.
And it's usually a big inside centre or a number eight. He leads the charge there, and just sometimes there's no technique. But it's just about putting his body in front and slowing that runner down so their defense can get set and go again. So that's why the boys love playing with him. He's just he's been around the world. He's played. He's a key figure for the Drua. And that's why I believe he's one of the best nines in the world at the moment. And we don't usually talk about that for our Pacifica players in the halves positions. We don't normally say that they're one of the best in the world, but he definitely is. So hopefully he goes well against Japan. And moving over to that game in that second semi, Samoa, they were outplayed by Japan. And what was bizarre about this game, Samoa dominated the stats. They had 64% of the possession, 59% of the territory. They only had to make 77 tackles compared to Japan's 181, conceded less penalties, less forced turnovers, and less handling errors, and still lost 49-27. When I saw those stats, I couldn't believe it.
What do you reckon that was down to?
Not executing, not taking all the opportunities that they had, not doing anything with it. For Japan, their strength is being able to play at high speed, and when Japan get the first three phases right, either from set piece or turnover, and the ball comes out, you know, lightning quick, very hard to stop their momentum. That's why I think it's going to be a really good matchup, especially for Fiji, as we talked about their defense. If they get that right, they're going to win this game for sure. And I think they're going to be excited and they'll get up for that. Then the last game, Tonga, much improved against Canada. The Cuz Pellegrini, Patrick Pellegrini, he was man of the match in that game.
Oh, nice, Patrick.
And I think the reason for that was on our family group chat. There was a bit of banter going back and forth. And when I get on a roll, man, I fire bullets at everyone. My wife's in there. My mum's in there. No one's safe in that group chat. Threw some at Patrick. He's come back in about, like, no one listens to your show. I was like, well, like those ones. And I was like, well, give me something positive to talk about then, because I'm sick of talking about, you know, trying to make up stuff to make your team sound better. And after that win, half an hour later, I get this notification. How's that for positivity, mate? Is that enough for you?
On the family chat?
On the family chat, half an hour after the game.
Half an hour.
He's come straight into
shook
the sheds.
All the hands, yeah. Done the thing in, after the game and gone straight.
First
grabbed,
person he thought of.
grabbed his phone in his bag. Half an hour is not a long time.
It's not a long time. A game, and I was just like, mate, one hot day doesn't make it summer, Patrick.
Oh,
but
you
well
didn't
done.
Even give him his flowers?
Nah, no. Hey, you're still younger than me, Kaz. I don't care who you play for, who you are. But no, congrats to Tonga. Great way to finish. Hopefully that's something that they can build on. So yeah, this Saturday in Osaka in Japan, where the great man Torai Kefu is, third place playoff is USA versus Samoa on the Saturday. And then after that, Fiji will play Japan in the final to see who's crowned champion. So we're looking forward to that one. And let's get over to Shelley Long and give us all the NRLW news.
The Long Story Short with Shelley Long.
Joining us every Monday is our PNG Orchids and NRLW star, Shelley Long from the North Queensland Cowboys. Shelley, first of all, congratulations. You're a part of Nijan Footy, episode 100th. Well done and a big thank you.
Oh, thanks, guys. I've loved jumping on every Monday and talking to you. And I feel like it doesn't even feel like 100 episodes, does it? Like, I feel like it's only the other day that we started talking all things footy.
Well, it's like Sammy's doesn't feel like 100 because half of it is.
Don't steal my line. I was about to say the same thing for the North Queensland holidays that they get up there. But do you know what's crazy as well? That we actually haven't even met in person yet.
No, we haven't.
T has.
Oh, I have.
But I haven't. So I just feel like I just know you from a screen. You know what I mean? Like, it just, I find that
Sammy
strange
wants
after
a
100.
Big hug.
Yeah, I want a hug. I want a hug to go, congratulations on the 100th. We really appreciate you coming on every single time, giving us an insight.
Well, Shelley, it was Papua New Guinea's Independence Day. How did you celebrate this over the weekend?
Oh, I celebrated with some really good friends, dressed up in my Mary blouse and went to the Townsville celebrations. It was amazing. My first time actually going to the Independence celebration. So a lot of dancing, a lot of food, a lot of markets, and I loved it.
A lot of food markets?
Yes, plenty of food markets in the thankfully air conditioned like church place that they held it in. But yeah, it was so good.
Favorite food?
Favorite food? It would have had to be the saksak and cream. That was nice.
What's that?
What's saksak?
Saksak is it's like, sago. You know sago?
Sago. Nope.
It's like a plant, and you mush it down into like powder, and then you cook it, and it's kind of like a doughy bread, but it's quite sweet. And then when you mix it with your coconut cream, it's a beautiful.
Oh, it's like the coconut buns. Oh, is it? Yeah. In the coconut cream.
Gotcha.
The buns in the coconut cream. I love it. That's actually really nice. Well, we better rip into some footy.
Footy
otherwise,
news, yeah,
we're starting
absolutely
to get hungry again. NRIW, what stood out for you?
A lot of things stood out for me over the weekend. More so the West Tigers' sensational victory over the St. George Dragons.
Yes.
Their 14-game losing streak over the weekend. So very happy for them. They definitely deserve it. The last couple of games that they've played have been very grindy, very well-fought games, but unfortunately they got a few losses. But this win brings them back up into, you know, where they should be. And, you know, 14-game loss streak finally broken. That's the main part.
Yep, I know Sala Tonga Tuki will be very happy. She's been on that emotional roller coaster ride ever since the State of Origin. So I'm happy for her and the rest of the West Tigers girls. Your game against the Roosters, Cowboys v Roosters. Talk to me. What happened?
Oh, look.
What happened? Go deep dive. What
just
happened?
Go straight to the point.
Very disappointing, but, you know, the Sydney Roosters, they proved why they're now on the top of the ladder with a strong performance. They're missing a few players, especially in their team, but they still managed to win. So that's incredible for them. Unfortunately for us, it does mean this loss means that we no longer have finals hopes available. We're knocked out of the ability to make finals now.
Great,
as well.
Yeah. Well, I still thought there were some good signs. You were ahead at one point in the first half, I believe, and a huge game coming up against the Newcastle Knights. Your ex-coach as well, Ben Jeffries. How are you going to be motivated for this match?
Oh, I think we'll be extremely motivated. For the Knights to make the finals, they have to win against us. So that's a key part to them making finals. And I think, you know, when you know you can't make finals yourself, you love making other teams a little bit disappointed if they can't make it either. So you see it a lot in other sports. So obviously we want the win.
So you're telling me if you beat the Knights, they cannot make the top four?
So if we beat the Knights and then the Eels beat the Roosters, there is a potential that Knights don't make finals.
Okay.
So it's very congested in that third and fourth, because if the Sharkies had won on the weekend, they would have tied up the minor premiership. But because they lost, now there's they want the Knights to lose, and they need to beat the Tigers this week. Yep. Shelley, in your eyes, who's the competition favourites?
Well, I think after the strong performance that the Roosters managed to show us on the weekend, they're definitely up there. And like I said, they're missing a few key players in their team as well, and they still managed to have a convincing win over the Cowboys. So I think they're top contenders.
Now, the big question, how was that meetup of yours with the PNG
Orchids
coach, the private dinner?
It was really good. You know, though, the first thing when I got there, she said to me, "So I hear you're eating the chicken schnitzel, hey?" And I was like, oh my gosh. What?
Big listener of the show, is she?
She didn't.
No, someone must have texted her, a little someone
No way. That's awesome. How was the snitty anyway?
Oh, it was beautiful. You know, a little bit of a discount as well there. So I was happy and, you know, they paid for it as well.
So I was going to say, who shouted? So the coach shouted?
The coach shouted. It was actually a really good time to catch up and kind of see what her trips over to PNG have been like and what she has planned for PNG. She's got a lot of things planned for us. And I think as well, when she's gone over there, she's seen, you know, that the pathways probably need a little bit more work to them to be done to make sure that there's always consistent footy for our girls over in PNG. And I think she's going to be great for helping fix that.
Did she say what excites her about this next challenge that she's going to take on coaching the PNG women's team?
I think something that she was talking about that really excites her is the love for the game that PNG have. And I think, you know, anyone that goes over there or anyone who watches the PNG teams play can see that their love for the sport is really there. And that excites her the most, the fact that there's so much passion with PNG people and their love for rugby league.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. Whenever you think PNG and rugby league, it's, you know, you think diehard fans, and it's like a religion over there when it comes to rugby league. So was there any chats around the Pacific Champs coming up?
There was a lot of talks about dates that we would be in camp for. So that's exciting. It looks like we'll spend 2 weeks in camp, one for Prime Ministers, then one for the first week of PAC Champs. 2 weeks of that, 4 weeks in camp will be in PNG and the other two in Australia, which, you know, I love being in PNG. I love being able to go back to my home country and to play footy over there as well.
Beautiful work, Shelley. I know it's been the butt of a lot of jokes, the rugby union segment in your show. Surely we've got something.
Oh, I've got plenty of news for you and a lot to unpack, actually.
Oh, beautiful. Rip in.
So the Wallaroos, who are ranked fifth, took on Ireland, who are ranked ninth on Saturday. The Wallaroos were met with a strong Ireland side who dominated 36 points to 10. The Wallaroos' attack will be something that they will need to work on in the coming days ahead of their matchup against Wales. So if you look at the stats in the game, the Wallaroos had just over 30% of possession, which in context of the game is not a lot. And when you're constantly tackling, the moment you get possession, you need to build on that momentum. So for the Wallaroos, a lot of forced errors when they finally got possession, and Ireland definitely capitalised on that.
We also saw Fijiana take on Scotland.
Yes, so for the first time ever, Fijiana versus Scotland. Fijiana currently ranked 14th and Scotland ranked 6th on the weekend in London. Fiji came out of the gates with plenty of determination, but unfortunately, as the game progressed, errors seeped in and it really took a toll on Fijiana, which allowed Scotland to come back into the game and dominate 59 points to 10. Fijiana will verse the Netherlands this weekend and hopefully rebuild their performance in that match. And in some very incredible news, Sam, and something that will make everyone very happy and proud, an incredible historical win for Manasina over the Wallaroos 18. They came from 17-all to 20-17 win over the Wallaroos 18. But it came down to Cassie Siatanga, who kicked a penalty goal from 42 metres out after the siren had gone. I had goosebumps.
That is massive. 42 metres out, I'm not going to lie, I wasn't backing her in. Oh, that's scenes. That's scenes over in Samoa. They'll be celebrating that for a very, very long time. How good.
Oh, so good. And I think what a way to finish our 100th Nijan footy talk as well, with such an incredible and historical win for the Manasina women's team.
Thank you very much, Shelley. And again, thank you for this big milestone. You're a huge part of the show and we appreciate you being here every Monday on Nijan Footy.
Thanks, guys. Always love jumping on.
Hey, guys. My name's Pauline Piliat-Russenballet and I'm listening to Nijan Footy.
All right, T, our guest this week is Fa'asa Salu Fuisaina, a.k.a. Sally. She's had an incredible story on how she earned her Wallaroos debut earlier this year against Canada. And at the young age of 32, being a mother of two and overcoming some tough challenges, she's about to tour to Europe and South Africa to help the Wallaroos, hopefully,
qualify for next year's Rugby World Cup. Sally, welcome to Nation 40.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's honestly great to have you on. Obviously, some exciting times ahead, but the last 12 months, it's probably been a whirlwind of enjoyment, excitement, and feelings for you and your family. Have you taken it all in and processed it all yet?
I'm still taking these emotions in day by day. I still can't believe I get to tour with the Wallaroo girls. It's just been so like fast-tracked for me, seeing where I started and where I am now. So yeah, just still mind blown that I get to even call myself a Wallaroo.
You mentioned where you started. Let's go right back to the start. Where did your rugby union journey start for yourself?
I did start back in 2014, where I started with Campbelltown Harlequins. And then I did take some time off because I had two kids. And then when I did decide to come back, I only wanted to come back to lose weight because I was gaining so much weight from having kids. And I just really wanted to stick with it because I joined the Parramatta Two Blues team. I think it was 2021, and I really wanted to prove myself because when I did leave, I just felt like I had some unfinished business that I wanted to keep doing rep footy and that. And it was like I was losing the weight. I was gaining happiness by coming back. Yeah, because at that time I was just postpartum depression was getting me with my second child. So, just being surrounded by another family helped me with that mental health issues and stuff. So, yeah, and then fast-tracked it to now, like, I got recognised by the Brumbies team and that's been a great journey for me. And to come back also to the team that I started with, Campbelltown Harlequins, winning our premiership last week, it just meant the world to me because that's where I started. And also I want to give back to the community.
Oh, we're definitely going to touch on some of those challenges you spoke about and obviously the happiness and joy team sport brings. Yes. Yeah, being a Samoan female growing up in a Samoan household, was rugby okay for you to play? Like, was it accepted in your household?
Yeah, it was actually. I started very young. I played rugby league. And then because my brothers were playing, I guess it was easy for me to play as well, knowing that my older siblings were playing. Going into high school, there wasn't a league team for girls at that time. So rugby union, that's where I got introduced in high school. It did become challenging after high school because I actually didn't play for 5 years after high school because as a Samoan female, you drop all those sport stuff, you got to go help your family by getting a job, being responsible and doing all that type of stuff. And I was helping my family out a lot financially. And I thought, you know what, I really want to give it a crack because Campbelltown had a team in 2014. And that's where I really fell in love with the sport again. And yeah, it was just I wanted to do something for myself.
Are you one of 10?
Oh, one of 11.
One of 11.
Yeah.
Wow. So, like you mentioned, all of them played. Again, I'm just assuming here that it was backyard footy rules the same for the girls and the boys, and you just went at it there in the backyard?
Yeah, I think that's what, playing against the boys is like you have that mentality. I've got to stay staunch, I've got to be accepted. I've got to be accepted as one of the boys, back in the day. Or if you don't, then you don't belong with them. That's the 90s 2000 mentality. You got to harden up.
Was Samoa a big part, like the Samoan culture, a big part of the way you guys were raised?
Yeah, definitely. With the religious and the way that we were brought up, just had the girls had to be really proper in the Fa'a Samoa way. That's why I had to give up rugby after high school, was just to help out with the family, do my Samoan duties as a young female Samoan te mai tai. But yeah, it was really tough at times. But I think now in modern days now, like my parents are realizing that, changing with the times as well, accepting things now that they wouldn't back in the day when I was growing up. I think they're more open minded to it because it's like a career pathway for them as well. Yeah.
I guess one of the hardest things for, the kids is being able to communicate to their parents and say you want to go down a different path compared to what they want for you.
Yeah.
How were those conversations with, say, your dad or your mum saying, I'm going to choose footy as a pathway?
Oh, even right now, like with rugby union, we're still struggling to support our female players full time, and I still work as well to have, you know, another income support for my family. So yeah, it was really hard to actually speak to my parents about that, because they didn't really see it as like something that can provide for my kids or even me myself. Yeah.
Is that something you encourage your daughters when they grow up to, you know, go and chase, whether it's sport or business or any career pathway? Is there something that you would encourage them just to go and explore that, them options?
Yeah, for me now, like seeing how I'm going through it, and I would definitely tell them to follow their, you know, their dreams and what they desire, because like I know firsthand that, you know, sometimes it's not about financial, it's something that you really love and that you can chase. Because right now, like, I'm not seeing it as a financial gain, I'm seeing it as it's an experience, and I'm experienced going to Europe, I'm experiencing like gaining friendship over this whole thing, and also just playing rugby, the sport that I love, in different countries and against other countries, and even just locally to show in my community that this is a fun sport to join.
Well, you mentioned earlier in the interview just about, you know, some of the challenges you faced and where you are today compared to, you know, after your, was it your second child? Is that when you've got the
post?
Yeah. Again, can you explain, you know, what was it like going through that journey, then coming out the other side and finding a happy place with rugby union amongst other girls?
Yeah, so shortly after having my second child, Luna, I was going through a mad depression where it was like I didn't even want to leave my front door. Like, it was just, everything was just coming so close, because at that time I was living in Mount Duet with my little family, and I was away from my 11 siblings, my mom and dad in Campbelltown. So it was like just being away from my support team. And it was just, I would just stay in my house. I would just wait for my partner to come home. And it was like really, it was just playing up on my mind. I just didn't want to even leave my front door to even go get the mail. So I knew something was wrong with me, because later on, I kind of ended up in hospital just for like just mental health. And I had people questioning me, and I didn't like that, just because I knew I just had baby 3 weeks after. It was just like, I don't like that people are questioning me about my mental health, and that kind of woke me up a bit to go and seek help and go do something for myself. So what I did was I went back to the gym, where I started to build some consistency, and I thought I'll join. Sorry. And I thought, and I thought I'll go play rugby, because I knew that that was like a happy place for me to start my health journey again. Yeah, it was just the fact that I had people, you know, like health physicians, like asking me questions about me. And just, I thought I would, like, if anything, like, I was just worried about my kids, if they're going to get taken off me, because I was going through like serious mental health issues. And I guess it was like kind of like a wake-up call for me, because when I did join rugby again, I joined one of the best teams at that time, you know, the Western Sydney Girls. And just joining and gaining friendship there kind of like helped me get through a lot of things.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you for, yeah, sharing their moments. I know it can be tough, and, you know, when you think back to that journey, but you should be very proud of coming through that and where you are now, and being an inspiration for a number of young Islander girls that might be going through something similar as well. So, yeah. You know, on behalf of me and Sammy, yeah, big thank you.
Yeah, 100%.
During that time, was there anyone that you got to speak to, or like that advised you to go do something that would make you happy?
Yeah, at the time I had my brother, Sanger. He helped me a lot, because he was going through similar stuff. And also asked my mom and dad. Like, I had my siblings who were always cool, because, like, we're, as weird as it sounds, we're really super close. And, family was, like, what pulled me together. And I ended up moving back to Campbelltown, because just to be around people who would support me. And, yeah, and it was a really good choice at the time, because being surrounded by family helped a lot.
I know, as part of the Pacific culture, sometimes, you know, we're not comfortable in, speaking about mental health or our emotions, and it's not within our culture or our nature to be able to share them feelings. Did you find it difficult to share, you know, what you were going through with your family, or, you know, to be able to break down and up them barriers and open up and share so you could get that advice?
Yeah, it was. There was only like certain few of my family or like friends that I could approach, just because just didn't want to let them judge me or like just to have their opinions on, like, say my partner and you know, do the blaming game, like, oh, is it must be that person's fault or their person's fault, when truly it was just what I was feeling and going through at the time. So it was, I was really careful because I'm kind of a discreet person. I'd like to keep things to myself, like any other islander. We like to keep things in because we don't like to overshare or just let people's opinion come in to you know, our space and stuff like that. But yeah, it was more like just being careful in who I open up to.
Well, I guess one of the common things that I also read, and it's happened in my household growing up, I'm sure with T as well, he's shared some stories just around food and bringing it into a high-performance environment. And I read that there was, you said that there were some iron deficiencies from, and that's why you fatigue sometimes, and due to some of the you know, eating white meat and not having enough money for red meats and iron-rich foods. We had the same thing growing up as well. It's just whatever you could get, that's what you ate. How have you found that, knowing how much food helps you perform? Like, what have you learned from all of this?
Yeah, I didn't know that, like, eating six times a day was, like, really beneficial for you. I just thought, like, you just have your breakfast and then you starve for the rest of the day till dinner. That was, like, pretty much our childhood. You take two sandwiches for lunch and, yeah, that's your recess and lunch. But, yeah, it's different. High performance, you know, you got to be careful what you eat because definitely with me, with iron deficiency, like I have to have my red meats and that just to fuel my body. So food is really important. And I guess, you know, being raised, you know, it was just financially back then. It was just whatever you can buy for like 10 kids. But, yeah, definitely change, you know, if you have a kid, a Polynesian kid, wanting to be a high-performance athlete, you definitely have to change your dietary around to suit you, yeah.
I want to just talk about your debut, the age of 32, in Sydney, in front of your kids, in front of your family. What was that like to, one, have your name called out in the team meeting and being able to tell your family that you're going to be playing for your country?
When my name got called out, I was like, it didn't really hit me until at the actual game day when I knew I was about to run on. I was like really nervous and also scared, just because I was like, holy shit, I have to perform. Like, it's not just your names get called out and you ran onto the field to get your cap. You got to actually really perform. So yeah, it really scared me. But then also I was happy at the same time, because at the age of 32, I didn't even think I would have been a Wallaroo. I was like, I don't think that there's many 30-year-olds. So I was really grateful, happy and scared at the same time.
It's just know that there are plenty of young girls looking up to you now. And you know, whether you're 32 or 18, you're an inspiration. So, keep up with the good work. Last question for me, though. I know we spoke about the healthy food and the nutrients. What's your cheat meal? You know, everyone loves a good cheat meal after a game.
Oh, I love this question. I love this question.
Is there a list?
Six times you can have it as a cheat meal.
This is so ghetto of me, but I love a good snack pack. I love chips. You know, with the kebab meat, and then my two sauces, garlic sauce and barbecue.
I like the barbecue.
Yeah.
They didn't have it in the UK, and I missed it for like 7 years. I'd get them to send it over.
No.
I'm with you on the halal snack pack. It's my go-to as well, but I just add a bit of hummus with it as well. And just chuck a bit of tabbouleh on top just to have some green in there for decoration. But honestly, on behalf of myself and T, Nesian Footy crew, man, it was cool to hear you open up just around your journey, and we wish you all the best on your tour. and please qualify for the World Cup.
Thank you. Thanks, Sam. Thanks, T, for having me on here.
Salo Falava, my name is Annalise O'Seal, and you're listening to Nisian Footy.
Nisian Knowledge.
See, it's my turn for Nisian Knowledge, and as you're probably well aware of, my preparation for these questions happened about 7 minutes ago.
Yeah, before we walked in the doors.
Before we walked in, yeah.
On Nisian Footy, we like to finish our Mondays with Nisian Knowledge. One of us will ask the other three questions, and we keep a score throughout the season. The score is Sam's on 16, I'm on 11.5. Sammy got 2 points on me last week. Which is
Moana the chicken.
most points we've had given all year. And, yeah, the loser has to get a Nisian Footy tattoo at the end of the season. So I've got some catching up to do. Otherwise, we'll be getting matching tattoos, Sammy.
Yeah, let's do it. Either way, I'm getting one.
Any tattoo artists that can do it?
As I said before, my sister-in-law, but that's a bit orcs.
That's sweet.
To tattoo my bum and your bum?
Yeah, you go wearing undies and you just put them
up. But you got to shave your bum.
It's like...
You do, not me, because my... look, we're going in a direction that's going to get us kicked off.
Well, as long as we don't have to pay thousands of dollars
we won't pay. All right, how many Pacifica players played for Japan against Samoa? Is it A, 4, B, 6, or C, 9?
Wow. 4, 6, or 9.
I always have a big Pacifica presence in Japan. Just remember, we're going to interview one at some point.
I'm going to go 6.
6. Lock it in, Eddie. 6 is correct, my friend. There were 6.
So close to going 9.
Next one. Sydney Roosters sit on top for total finals appearances. They sit on the top. All right. How many finals games have they played in total? Is it A, 100, B, 108, or C, 117?
Oh, that's a good question.
Manly become the fourth team to play 100 finals, just to let you know.
117, lock it in.
You're 2 from 2. This is too easy for you. You're killing it.
117.
Bro, could this be a first to get 3 from 3? Because I reckon you'll get this last question, and this has never happened before in the 100 episodes of Nisian Footy. Here we go. Which massive Samoan was playing lock for the Bulldogs when they last played finals footy? Plays in the front row.
That is a disgusting question.
But that's a hint. Normally plays in the front row, but a big Samoan lock. You know this guy well too. You know him.
Big Samoan lock.
I want you to get 3 from 3.
But he's usually a prop.
Yeah.
It was James Graham era.
Yeah, it was James Graham era. I'll give you that.
It can't be Sam Cassiano. Oh, the other one is Frank Pritchard. Oh!
Ooh.
Cassiano or Frank Pritchard. Damn, lucky I didn't shoot too early. Did Pritchard play in that game with James Graham? Can't remember him playing. Cassiano would be too big. I can already envision me saying Cassiano and then Frank, and you go, you should have stayed with Frank Pritchard, but I'll go Cassiano.
It is 3 from 3. Tinida Aroa.
Sam Cassiano
played lock.
That was a great question.
There we go, my friend.
Episode 100.
We did it. We got it.
Yes. Oh, give me that cake.
That's our time up for Nisian Footy Mondays. What a way to finish. You can catch up on all of our chats with athletes like Cassie Staples, who scored a great try on the weekend, Patrick Pellegrini, and plenty more wherever you get your podcast. Outstanding work, T.
And
see you next time.
Here's to the next 100, Sammy. Thank you again. Love you, brother. Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.